God's word is Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. We're going to look at first 5 verses, but we're going to read up to verse 7. This is the reading of God's word. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those which exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger, who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. Wherefore it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes for rulers and servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Let us hear your word and let our faith grow and we'll be more and more like your Son. We pray that by your grace the word will be preached correctly, that all of us will hear, understand, and believe and obey to bring glory and honor to you. Let us meet your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, as we hear your word, so that we may have fellowship with him, sweet, heavenly fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. O Father, receive all the glory. We thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Question for today is, what must be Christian's attitude toward the secular government according to the Bible? You know, how far, how much must a Christian obey the secular government according to the Bible? And this is not a topic that we are able to exhaust in one sermon. Believe me, it's not. But let us look at it in a big picture today. After the sin has entered the world, our God has divided this world into three realms. First is family, second is society, and the third, the church. Before sin, there in the Garden of Eden, these three realms were one. The Adam's family was the society and the church. But after sin has entered this world, it has been divided into three realms and a different authority has been given to each realm. The family must obey their parents, especially the head of the family. The society must obey its leaders, like presidents. The church must obey the elders. Again, in the Garden of Eden, before sin came in, these authorities were one. Adam was the head of the family, and he was the president, and he was also the elder. Today, each Christian is a member of the family, and he is also a member of the society, and also a member of the church. So he has a duty as a member of the family, and he has a duty as a member of the society, and he has a duty as a member of the church. He, as a member of the family, must obey his father, and he, as a member of the society, he must obey the leaders in that society. And as a member of the church, he must obey the elders of the church. Now, each of these three realms are independent of each other. The authority of one realm cannot exercise its authority over the other realms. The society cannot tell the church what to do about how to serve and how to worship God. Society cannot tell the family what kind of business they could have or where they could live or whom they could marry. The church cannot tell the society what kind of laws they could make, like the laws that would benefit only the Christians. God's will for the society is that the governing body be fair to all. The church cannot tell the family who they could marry as long as they're marrying a Christian, or what kind of job or business they could have. Church cannot do that to family. That's a family matter. These three realms will be one again in heaven. Heaven is one family, and that family is one nation and also one church. But until that day, it is divided into three realms. This happened because of sinful nature of sinners. If one dominates all three realms, then it's really, really a terrible situation. Today, a Christian is not only a member of the family, but he is also a member of the church. Thus, if he sins, then the church must discipline him as a member of the church. Understand? A Christian is also a member of the society. Thus, he has a duty to obey its authorities. Our passage today addresses that point. Romans 13, before we get into verse 1, is the continuation of chapter 12 that began with knowing the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here the question is then, what is God's good and acceptable and perfect will when it comes to our attitude toward the secular government, secular authorities? Well, verse 1, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. The first thing to understand is that there is no authority except from God, and those which exist today, whatever the authorities that you will see in the society, they are established by God. See, our God is a sovereign God. He controls all things. And we forget that. When we're going against certain authority, we forget that it was God who established that authority over us. God is in control of all things. I'm living in certain circumstances because that is God's will for me at this time. Don't ever think that whatever that you are going through, that God has nothing to do with it. Our God, according to Ephesians 1, verse 11, He works all things after the counsel of His will. Psalm 115, verse 3, But our God is in heavens. He does whatever He pleases. Acts chapter 4, verse 27 and 28, For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. See, these gathered to kill Jesus, but even that gathering was a plan of God. Isaiah 46 verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, My purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure, God says. Daniel chapter 4 verse 35, All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but He does, God does, according to His will, in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. And no one can ward off His hand or say to Him, What have you done? See, it is God who raises up leaders in this world. He is the one who raises up nations according to His will. Daniel chapter 2 verse 21, It is He, God, who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. Daniel chapter 5 verse 21b, The Most High God is ruler over all realm of God, mankind, and that He sets over it whomever He wishes. Even the judgment is according to His will. Amos chapter 3 verse 6b, If a calamity occurs in a city, has not the Lord done it? Obvious answer is yes. Even the evil authorities are according to God's will. Proverbs 16 verse 4, The Lord has made everything for its own purpose, even the wicked for the days of evil. So for there is no authority except from God. And those which exist are established by God. But when we are under evil authorities or under bad situations, many questions arise. How could this be good for me? What I know is not how, but that it is good for you. We must trust our God. He is the one who put me in this situation, caused me to born in certain year and live in a certain country with certain people. And if you find yourself in another country, in another situation, it was God who put you there. We must trust God. Romans 8 verse 28, And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now, we know that this is utterly foolishness to this sinful world. This world will never accept this. And they will think that you're foolish to accepting this. But for us, we trust our sovereign God, that He is in control of all things. And if that is His will, then it is our pleasure. Just like what Jesus says right before he has to die on the cross. If it is possible, then let this cup pass, but not according to my will, but yours. If your will is for me to die, then that's what I'll do. This is the heart of Christian. Even though we don't see that many times this heart, even from Christians. But it is. Verse 1 says, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. And verse 2, therefore, whoever resists the authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation. Now, this word condemnation is not referring to the eternal condemnation, but the punishment that you will receive in this world. And they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. The good and acceptable and perfect will of God is that every person is to obey the governing authorities. Whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God. Again, how many people out there will accept this? But I'm not speaking to them, I'm speaking to you who claim to be Christians. First Peter chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. Submit yourselves to every human institution. Titus chapter 3 verse 1, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. So God's will for us is to obey every human institution and obey the authorities. But question is then, how far do we obey them? Well, we obey until to obey them becomes sin. That's the biblical principle. Because the language that we have in these verses is pretty absolute. He just says, obey them. That's it. He doesn't say, oh, in this case, you don't have to do, or that case, you could half obey. No, you obey, period. But we cannot sin, obviously. So we cannot and must not obey them if to do so is to sin against God. Acts chapter 4, verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. Obvious answer is, we must obey God. Acts chapter 5, verse 29, but Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. But unless they tell you to sin, we must obey. This is God's will for us. Now, our hearts rebel against these things. You're saying, what do you mean? They're evil. God knows they are evil. Because He's the one who put them there. And He's saying to you, trust God. Trust Him. But our sinful hearts just, it's so hard for us to just accept this. Coming back to Romans 13, verse 3 and 4, for rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good, but if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on those who practice evil. God tells us that the secular authorities are the ministers of God. As we have already seen, even the evil authorities are according to God's will. Bible says, if you do what is evil, be afraid. For the secular government does not bear the sword for nothing. Now, first of all, let's analyze these verses. And we're not going to do it too deep today, but there's a very clear teaching here. Even though it does not say directly, the teaching is this, that the duty of the secular authority is to punish the ones who do evil. That's God's will, for them to punish. Now these days, some people want to get away with any kind of punishment. That somehow punishment is bad. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Actually, God says to punish them. That's the authority that God has given to these authorities. Because they did evil. Now, obviously, there are secular authorities that will not do things according to God's will. But that's their sin. That's not what God says. And what God says is to punish the evildoers. It is not a terrible thing to punish the ones who do evil. Actually, it is God's will to do so. Here, the evil does not refer to all sins, obviously, but those who do things to destroy the order and ruin the maintaining and promoting that order. The secular authorities are the ministers of God. Our passage says, the avenger who bring wrath on the one who practices evil. Whose wrath? Obviously, God's wrath. That if you do evil things in this world, whether you're Christian or not, God's wrath is towards you. And these authorities, these secular authorities, are the avengers to bring that wrath of God to that person who practices evil. Now, our passage says they do not bear the sword for nothing. From this, we could conclude the punishments for the one who practices evil includes the capital punishment. Capital punishment is biblical. If capital punishment is sin, then Moses committed so many sins in the Old Testament. He stoned so many sinners to death. And yet so many Christians think that capital punishment is sin. Where do they get that? We do not have time to discuss this matter of capital punishment, so we'll do that in the future. But understand that it is biblical. Romans chapter 13 verse 5. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection. Not only because of wrath, not only that you are afraid of punishment, but also for conscience sake. Do not obey the secular authorities just because that you're going to be punished if you do evil, but for the conscience sake, the conscience toward God. You obey them because to do so is to do the will of God. You want to obey God. That's why. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 through 20. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrow when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. Again, how many people out there in the secular world will agree with this? It says, be patiently bear it. Again, your heart rebels. Even when I'm treated unjustly? Yes. Because today, the whole world is about finding their rights. I want my rights. Where in the Bible that tells you to go out and get your rights? Nowhere in the Bible. And you will need to think, why? Why God tells us this way? Even when I am suffering unjustly, God says patiently endure it. I didn't misread it. Here in 1 Peter chapter 2, the context is not the secular authorities, but the masters. Today's language, the bosses, employers. However, the principle is the same. We are to obey not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. Again, let me ask you this. Do you think this kind of teaching will be accepted by this world today? No. But how about you, Christians? Do you accept what God tells you? Verse 19, for this finds favor if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrow when suffering unjustly. For the sake of conscience toward God, just like what we read in verse 5, we do what we do all because of God. Our purpose is to obey God. Now, verse 6 and 7, we don't have time to really look at it today. But just let me read it once again. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. It's not okay not paying taxes just because you are Christian. Actually, if you are Christian, then you must pay. I mean, you could choose to live in a place you pay less, but you must pay. Well, let me summarize then. Because I want to talk about our situation right now a little bit. And maybe in the future we'll talk about it more. All right, summarize. We are called to obey the secular authorities, even the unreasonable ones. Paul is speaking to Christians who are under the rule of Roman Empire. He wasn't speaking to some, you know, democratic country. They were slaves to Roman Empire. And Paul speaks to them, saying, obey. Oh, today, not that many people will accept this. Furthermore, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, first of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of men for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Furthermore, you must pray for these authorities. But it says, why do we do this? For a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity, so that we will not be hindered in serving God and worshiping God. That's what it's saying. So, in order for us to serve God and worship God according to the Bible, without hindrance of government, then we obey as much as possible. Because we want to worship God according to the Word. For that purpose, we'll do whatever it takes, unless that is sin. Because worshiping God is the most important thing in our lives. We are called not only to obey, but to pray for these people. Now, be very honest with yourselves. Is it easy for you to accept all this? Is not doing this foolishness? No. And I give you reason why God tells us to do this way. We must do it because the fact that we are participating in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus lived this way. Jesus never told his disciples to rise up and go against the government. Never. Even when the authority came to capture him and kill him, he died. He didn't rebel. All he had to do is call on the angels to destroy all those Roman soldiers. And yet he didn't do that. He got captured and he died on the cross. And God's call to you is to be like Christ. To participate in his life. The foolishness according to this world. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 19, we read this already, for this finds favor if for the sake of conscience toward God a person bears up under sorrow when suffering unjustly. One verse later, verse 21, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth, and while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him, God the Father, who judges righteously. Even when he was suffering unjustly, he never threatened anyone. Do you know who I am? He never said that. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. He didn't seek his right as God. No. But emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. This is how Jesus lived. And you are called to live the very same life that Jesus lived. We must have the mind of Christ. He has made us to be meek. We believe that God is in control of all things. Thus, by trusting Him, we live in peace, completely forsaking anger. Because if it is God's will, then why are we angry? Where is that anger coming from? You don't like what God is doing. You hate what God is doing. But God made us meek. We know God controls all things. So there is no anger no matter what happens in this world. And God will judge all things righteously and justly. We need to wait, patiently wait. So, whatever government tells us to do, unless it tells us to sin, we must obey. Now, obviously, we cannot do this perfect. But we must try. Now I want to talk about something else here. All that I've been telling you is about a personal, individual Christian's attitude towards the government. I told you that there's three realms, and to each realm, a distinct authority is given. And one realm, God will rule according to common grace order. The other realm, God will rule according to special grace order. Depends on what realm that is. Now, secular government telling an individual Christian to obey them is one thing, but these days we hear a lot from the secular government telling the church, especially telling the church how we are to worship and serve our God. This is going way outside of the authority that God has given to the secular government. They cannot tell us how we are to worship. Period. Now, having said that, because the purpose of the secular government in telling the church what to do is to prevent spreading the virus for the good of the society, because of it, it is not wrong for the church to do everything possible to help that purpose. Do you understand? So worship outside, they tell us. So we think, well, worshiping outside is not sin, thus we worship outside. unless it is sin, will help the secular government's purpose. Wear masks. Well, wearing masks is not sin, so we wear masks. If they tell us not to worship, not to gather as church to worship, that we cannot follow. That we cannot obey. Because not to gather to worship is sin. That we cannot do. Do not praise. Well, praising is an element of worship. In worship, there are things that we do because God told us to do. And one of them is praise. We cannot obey secular government telling us not to praise. But we will wear masks to praise. That we could do, because praising with mask is not sin. So we'll do that. Do you understand the principle? See, the element of worship, if they tell us to remove certain elements, don't pray, or don't praise, those things we cannot obey. God told us to do these things during worship. But we will do as much as possible to help their purpose, preventing the spreading of the virus. For the good of the society, we're willing to do that. Not gathering for a Bible study to prevent the spread of the virus is not sin, but not gathering for worship is sin. See, we're not going to accuse you if you don't come to Bible study one time. That's not really sin that we could deal with. So not gathering for Bible study is not sin, so we'll obey. They tell us not to meet. But not gathering for worship, that's sin. That we cannot obey. No matter who tells us, we will worship. Do you understand this? Because worship is much better than our lives. It's much precious than our lives. You know, this country was founded upon that principle. They came from Europe because they want the freedom of religion. Because they wanted to worship God according to the word. And now they're going to tell us, they don't care about what the word says, but you listen to me, they say. Nobody other than the Bible will tell us how to worship God. No compromises whatsoever there. And you need to understand what kind of church that our church is. There are many churches out there you could go if you don't like this principle that we find in the Bible. I'm serious. There are so many churches out there who will teach differently. I would worship. Even to worship is to die here. I will worship. Because that we cannot compromise. Now, Lord's Supper. God never says how often we should do it. So even if we don't do it, few months is not sin. And there are people here who are uncomfortable participating in that Lord's Supper. Because it is elders who has to touch these things, even though they might wear gloves or whatever. We have to pour. So we'll wait. Long as it's not sin. I know you guys are suffering because of not receiving. But it's not to a point where we're sinning. We don't just do things because we feel like it. There's a reason for why we do certain things and why we don't do certain things. And that reason has to come from the Bible. Nobody can tell us when it comes to serving God and worshiping God what to do to worship. That, there is no compromise. Yes, we'll wear masks, we'll worship outside, we'll keep the social distance, we'll do whatever it takes, but we will worship. And we cannot be perfect in these things, and we don't pretend to be perfect, but we do our best according to what God tells us through the Bible. For the sake of our conscience, we do this. Brothers and sisters in Christ, freedom to worship God is so precious. It's worth our lives. It truly is. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your word that clearly tells us what is your will is. Give us wisdom, give us knowledge that we may know your will, so that we may do all things according to your will to bring glory and honor to you. Bless us, God. Bless us. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.